Spirit Radio Podcasts.
You're listening to Spirit Radio. It's Jackie filling in for Wendy this morning. And you know, as lockdown restrictions ease for the summer months, has the pandemic been a good life learning lesson for children in terms of learning patience and gratitude and respect for the small things in life? Well, on the line to chat to us about teaching your children that good things come to those who wait, we have psychologist Patricia Fitzpatrick. Patricia, you're very welcome to the show this morning.
Thank you, Jackie.
First of all, Patricia, you know, waiting for rewards and having patience can be difficult, even for big people, but especially for young children. What are the benefits in children having learned patience in this pandemic?
I suppose, Jackie, if we think, what is a parent's role? And as you say, it can be hard for big people. Perhaps big people haven't learned enough when they were small people how to wait. So it's, you know, waiting is so, so important. And I suppose, Jackie, in terms of, you know, parents, and our job is to raise our children to be adults that are, you know, leave the world behind them in a better place, to put it very simply. It's always good to have principles to hang things on. And in this one, what I would always say to parents, or what we would say to parents is, you know, to separate out needs from wants. You know, so I need shelter, I need a house, I want a house in Hope, I have a house in Leixlip. You know, my need is met, my want is something that I can, you know, work towards. And you know, the harder I work, the more likely I am to get that. So at a very, very early stage, we need to start with our children, and we can start with this very, very young. Now, for instance, in relation to needs, we will not leave an infant, a newborn, crying, because they have a need to be comforted immediately. However, as the child gets to be, you know, a waddler and a toddler, we're gradually going to delay the time that we, you know, that, excuse me, never their needs, but their wants, certainly. So, and that's a very, very important role of parenting. And I suppose the other thing, Jackie, is to think is that, you know, we all work for rewards. There are rewards all the time. There's a reward for you in doing the show this morning. There's a reward for me in going on talking to you about this. I'm hoping some people are listening, and I wish that I'd known this when my children were small, but anyway, they say it's okay. So we all work for rewards, and with little small people, you know, in order to help them to achieve something that's difficult, we may give them an immediate reward, which, you know, attention, noticing, you know, gratitude, actually saying thank you to the child when they do what we want them to do. But if it's something that they're particularly struggling with, then we can, you know, add in a reward, a bigger one that they'll earn a little bit later. So we notice immediately, or as close to immediately as we can, when they've achieved something that they're struggling with, and that was, you know, that they were impatient about, or that maybe we're impatient about if it's a behavioural change we want. And then in order that it, you know, to let the child know how much we value it, we add in something bigger later. And, you know, it's about value. It's about, you know, effort. Now, again, we have to remember this, Jackie. Effort doesn't always pay off. Most of the time it does. But sometimes, and we know this because even talking about the pandemic, there are people, and we possibly all know of people, who did everything, who, you know, as best they could, and still they caught COVID, and maybe they died of it. So one of the things that we need to be mindful about with our children as well, too, is to be real to them, you know, and to not promise or pretend things will happen when maybe there is a chance that even though we've worked for this, maybe it doesn't happen the way we want it to. And that's where I think, Jackie, and I know I'm going on now, but there's so much that could be said on this.
Oh, you're doing great. Keep going.
Well, this is, I think, Jackie, where from, you know, I was reared in the Christian tradition, and other traditions I know will also, you know, I don't know as much as I'd like to know about other faith traditions, but I'm quite sure that they will also have this in there where, you know, you if what you worked for doesn't happen or doesn't happen in the way you want it to happen, what I was brought up to, I was brought up to accept it in that way, God has another plan, or perhaps God has another, or a better plan, you know. And I think that's, so when we are helping our children, it is our responsibility as parents to raise our children the best way we can. This is why I come at this from the principle of understanding the difference in needs and wants, but also then, you know, working with our children, that now not everybody gets their needs met, as we know, not all children do, but that should be our right. But then our wants come after that. Yeah. And it is about, you know, this is where we, and we do it. Look, this is where play is the perfect facility, if you like, for teaching these things to children from a very, very young age in, you know, waiting, turn-taking, all of that.
Absolutely.
And then, yeah. And also, yeah. It's so important, too, if I could just say this as well, that when the child doesn't earn what they thought they might earn, now, for parents, never promise. You know, you might say, look, you know, if you get such and such, then after five of those, we're going to go to the beach at the weekend. You know, always never promise that you're going to do something because you don't know. It might spill, and we are in Ireland, so most likely it'll spill rain out of the heavens and you won't go. And the child will say, but you promised. So it's always better to say, you know, if the day is right, our plan is, we will do this.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah, and then, Jackie, just one final thing. Empathy, empathy, empathy. So if the child doesn't get what they want to get, what they thought they were going to get, in the first instance, as a parent, show empathy. Say, look, I know it's disappointing. I know you're disappointed. But you know what? You've worked so hard. And I'm so grateful. Show gratitude to get gratitude.
Absolutely.
Model, model, model.
Patricia, thank you so much for teaching. Those are some great tips for teaching our children that good things come to those who wait. Psychologist Patricia Fitzpatrick, thank you so much for talking to us this morning. Patricia has a book. It's called Effective Parenting, A Simple Guide for a Happy Home. It's available for online purchase at effectiveparenting.ie. That's effectiveparenting.ie. Psychologist Patricia Fitzpatrick, thank you so much.
Spirit.
So I have Spirit's own Garvin Rigby here to share with us some behind the scenes on the music news of what's been added to our music playlist this week. Garvin, you're most welcome.
Well, I have three of the songs here that we've added onto the playlist in the recent few days, and these are kind of songs, some of the Christian and mainstream songs we're kind of playing on air at the moment. One of the songs we've added is from Evan Kraft. The song is called Be Alright. It features Danny Gokey, and Redemy 2 is the name. It's basically from Evan Kraft's album Desesperado, which is one of the other songs we're playing on the radio station at the moment from the same artist, which basically means desperate or hopeless in Spanish. The Spanish translation, not that I'm a Spanish fluent speaker, I think. But basically, as he says, Gokey says about the song, during these difficult times, it's much needed reminder that God is always in control. He's got the whole world in his hands. It's a big song. It's a good song. It's really earworm of a song, so it's very catchy. And the rich lyrics testify to the trustworthy nature of God. I mean, some of the lyrics go, Father, you say everything is going to be all right, but my circumstances say I won't last through the night. I need your word to hold me. Now I need you to pull me through. I need a miracle, a breakthrough. I need you. So here's a song, Evan Kraft, Be All Right, featuring Danny Gokey and Redemy 2.
Whole world's in his hands. Your whole world's in his hands. In the darkness and the trials, he's faithful and he is true. The whole world's in his hands.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful song. I love it. What do you have for a snack? Yeah, it's really good.
It's a catchy song. So that's on the Spirit Radio playlist now as well. You'll hear that on the high rotation. Another song we have is from the mainstream area. It's one of the songs we've been playing, say, recently. It's added to the playlist a couple of weeks ago. So you should have heard it or will hear it a lot in the next few days and weeks. It's from a lady called Laura Pausini. She's an Italian singer. The song is called Scene. It's from the movie A Life Ahead, which is starring Sophie Loren, who is named the 21st greatest female star of classic Hollywood cinema. She's still going. She's still acting.
Yeah.
And it's a Netflix movie, so it's free to air on Netflix at the moment. It got Best Original Song at the 78 Golden Globe Awards. It was the first non-English song to win an award. And it was written by Laura Pausini herself and Diane Warren. And Diane Warren's written, like, you know, hundreds of songs over the last 30, 40 years. The message is about diversity and against prejudice, racism, and also talks about the hard life of orphaned or poor children, people struggling to have or adopt children. And the two people who are invisible and need to be seen, and especially to the difficult situation that the world lives in these times. So some of the lyrics go, when you feel like no one understands you, I will, I will. When you think no one can ever heal you, mine will, mine will. It's almost like a Christian message in the song anyway. I think it's a powerful song. It's really powerful lyrics, and it's a powerful video as well. And it's not a bad movie. The movie's okay to see as well. And the song is called Scene by Laura Pausini.
I want you to know that you're seen, 'cause I see you. And I see too. Ooh,
That's gorgeous too. I love it.
It's a lovely song, and look, it's a powerful enough lyrics. And again, you know, when you can't, when you think no one else is seeing you, I will see you is a message in the song. The next one is Matthew West, and again, look, no one needs an introduction to who Matthew West is. Of course, multi Grammy Award winner, Dove Award winner artist Matthew West. He's like with three songs going at the moment on playlists around the world on Christian radio stations. And Matthew West, the song is called "What If." He says about the song, "This is a song about taking chances, about living life to the fullest, about chasing what really matters, so that you don't look back with regret and asking yourself, what if?" That's a question we all ask ourselves. What if we did this? And so much of the song is about not being able to go back and make different choices. He had to reference from one of his favorite movies growing up, Back to the Future. That's why in the lyrics of the song, you'll actually hear a reference in the lyric video to the DeLorean, of course, from the movie. Knowing that we can't go back and relive our yesterday should motivate us to make the most of our todays, is what Matthew West says about the song. Some of the lyrics in the song are, "What if today's the day I got, the only day I got," right? Think about that. "If it's the only day you got, I don't want to waste it. It's my last shot. Oh, oh, oh. No regrets in the end. I want to know. I got no what ifs." So basically, the song is all about not having regrets. And what if today is the day you want to actually do everything you need to do in your life?
Awesome. Spirit Radio's own Garvin, thank you so much for talking to us today. Now let's have a listen to Matthew West and "What If" here on Spirit Radio.
I've heard him say before to live just like you're dying. Wish I could say this how I am, but I've been lying, yeah. Lying in my bed at night, one too many times I'm thinking, what if, what if? My biggest fear is waking up to find what matters.
Spirit.
You know, it is an exciting week. Churches around the country are looking forward to reopening their doors this week. And one of them is Liberty Church in the heart of Dublin City. And with me now for an update, I have its senior pastor, Noel Kenny. Good morning, Noel. It's great to have you here.
Good morning. How are you? How is everybody?
So I got a smile on my face, I have to say, this morning, Noel. It is so exciting. It felt like a really long wait, didn't it?
It did indeed. You know, like when you take the whole year into context, there wasn't much time when we weren't in lockdown or wasn't able to get together, and it felt so long. It felt forever nearly.
Yeah, but it's so great to see that light at the end of the tunnel. It is here. And are you guys ready to receive people back in the church? What have you guys been doing ahead of this to get ready?
Wow. Well, you know, one of the things we've been really sitting down as an eldership and a leadership team is like, what do we want to come back to? You know, that's been the biggest
good question.
Like, you know, people go, well, people want to go back to normal, and then people don't want to go back to normal because we've been used to, or we have learned some new things during the lockdown about being a believer, being church. And so, yeah, so we've been basically plotting and planning people coming into a place of, you know, in the atmosphere of, for want of a better word, of a place of rest, because we've all been through so much in this time.
So true.
So we really want to, as a church, just create that environment where we can sit and hear each other. So instead of a big, you know, rallying or rah-rah, we're just like, come on, we just hear story. Come on, we just hear one another. And what
be
we
together.
Can then be able to pray together for each other and be able to worship together in spite of, you know what I mean? Like, you know, what life has thrown at everybody in the last year.
Yeah, you know, no, I always think, when I think of church, I think of welcome. You know, that's what churches are. Got the arms of God welcoming people in. How do you feel about the possibility of having to turn some people away because of numbers and things like that? How are you guys dealing with that?
Yeah, well, we've had to deal with it the way last year, for instance, we had a picture of what this will be, people having to book in online. And for the best part, you know, I don't think we had to turn anyone away last time. The good thing for us, we have three locations with three different services. So if like someone can't get into that 50, they can get into the other service or the evening service. So, you know, we've been pretty all right in that. Like, how do you do that? You know, like, we've said to some of our guys, like especially our leaders that will be booked in, if someone comes in and they need to have that seat, well, then I leave.
I
prefer my brother or sister over myself. And having that, you know, we haven't had to do it, thank God, but I know that's there. I know that's enough.
Yeah.
as a group of people, our worship team would leave or something. Do you know what I mean?
There's ways to, that is lovely. That really touches my heart. You know, separation, it is hard, and we've been separated for, I counted it up this morning, over 20 weeks. I mean, that's a long time to be separated from people that you love and you care for and that are in your daily life. But do you think you have grown in some ways through it? Have you noticed any own personal growth through it, through this separation?
Yeah. I was one of those people that caught COVID this year.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I know. Look, it was what it was. But what I've learned, like, especially as a leader of the church, the things that really, really encouraged me, I'm 100%. I want to be in a room with people that love the Lord. I think we've learned that, like, you know, we say this all the time, but the building actually isn't the church, you know. And I think that's one of the great lessons that we've learned, you know, it's like people were in their homes on a Sunday morning. Yeah, it was connected through Zoom or whatever, but they were in their community, in their homes, worshiping the Lord, listening to the word of the Lord, you know, sharing communion with their family in that context of their own home, in their own neighborhood, in their own community. And there was something incredible about that we certainly intend to continue them things that we have learned, that people are able to experience God in their home. And yet coming together has a different, beautiful dynamic, but
Absolutely. It's
not the only expression of the church.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on this morning. I really do appreciate it. It's Pastor Noel Kenny from Liberty Church in Dublin.
Spirit.
The charity Cancer Trials Ireland is running a campaign to encourage people undergoing cancer treatment to consider asking their doctors about cancer clinical trials that may be suitable for them. So on the line to chat to us about why these clinical trials are so important in cancer research and treatment development, we have Professor Seamus O'Reilly. He's a consultant medical oncologist and vice clinical lead at Cancer Trials Ireland. Professor, we are so glad to have you here this morning. You're very welcome.
Thank you. Now, thank you for making the time to talk to me.
Oh, absolutely. This is really important for people. What are the main things people should know about cancer trials in Ireland?
I think the first thing is their benefit. I've been doing cancer medicine for 30 years now, and I've seen the transformative nature of cancer trials in our community. You know, patients who've been able to complete a family after cancer therapy, grandparents who've been able to see grandkids get older, life events reached that wouldn't have been reached before, treatments reduced compared to previously because of newer developments in technology and genetic assessment, so that the quality of survival for people is improved and also their survival is improved. So it has been a really transformative 2 decades in cancer medicine, and much of it driven by Cancer Trials Ireland and their involvement in cancer care in our communities.
Mm-hmm. When I hear the word cancer trials, all kinds of things kind of go through my mind. You know, it's like, you hear about people having to go away for cancer trials to other countries or whatever. So what kind of trials are available here in Ireland, and are there many, and how do people find out about them?
So we have a national cancer trials network that Cancer Trials Ireland coordinates. So in every cancer centre in the country, there are cancer trials units. They've been developed over the last 20 years. Thousands of patients have been treated on clinical trials in Ireland as a result, and the number of people being treated on trials has gone up year on year. Cancer Trials Ireland have a central database of the trials that are available for patients that might be appropriate, but also asking the team that are looking after them at the site, what trial will be suitable for me? Trials come and go, so sometimes there might be a trial that will be available and sometimes not. We have a retreat next week to review how we do things.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that, because it's an international clinical trial, isn't it, on May 20th?
Yes, so that's International Clinical Trials Day, and we're having, on that day, the Taoiseach is opening a national cancer retreat. It's the first of them, and it's a time to reflect on how we're doing things well and what we could do better. We're at a watershed time in Ireland at the moment in that the funding that we're getting from the government has increased, but it's also changed in the way it's distributed. So we want to know how we can work best to make that money work to sweat that money as much as possible. And the second issue is COVID, because COVID has had a significant negative impact on trials.
And how is the, how is that? Has it limited the trials or?
Yes, it has reduced it by about 40%.
Wow.
And our concern is that COVID isn't going away, mm-hmm. even though vaccinations are rolling out, and we need to learn how to live with COVID. Learning how our trials can work better and how we can do things better in this COVID environment is important, so that patients aren't compromised in terms of their potential benefits of therapy or treatment opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a combination of two things together at the same time. And my hope is that at the end of it is that the people involved in clinical trials, the doctors, nurses, research coordinators, the government at the Health Research Board who fund us, the regulatory bodies, we'll all look at how we do things now and look at, you know, basically speed bumps and potholes in how we do things and try and smooth them out so that more people can get benefit from these treatments.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for coming on today. That's Professor Seamus O'Reilly, Consultant Medical Oncologist and Vice Clinical Lead at Cancer Trials Ireland. Really, really interesting to hear everything you had to say today. You can go to cancertrials.ie to find out more information, or you can call the Irish Cancer Society support line on free phone 1-800-200-700. That's 1-800-200-700. And International Clinical Trials Day is on May the 20th.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.